presented by the American Bankers Association.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza. It's Monday, March 18th, and here's what's driving the day. First up, a conviction in the Manhattan hush money case may not doom Trump, but it would do real political damage. That's the headline from a new Ipsos poll commissioned by Politico to measure the public's views of what is often considered the weakest of the four Trump criminal cases. A lot of voters are dug in on this issue. 44% say a conviction would have no impact on whether to support Trump or not. But by a more than 2-to-1 margin, respondents who say a conviction in Manhattan would matter say that it would make them less likely to support Trump. A few other takeaways from the poll on other Trump legal issues. 70% of Americans reject Trump's claims of presidential immunity. About half of the country does not trust the Supreme Court to issue a fair and nonpartisan ruling on the question of whether Trump is immune from prosecution. And finally, 59% of respondents said that Trump should stand trial in the Justice Department's 2020 election subversion case before Election Day. Over at the Supreme Court this morning, justices will hear an important free speech case that will answer this question. Did the Biden administration transform private social media companies' content moderation decisions into state action and therefore violate the First Amendment rights of social media users? That case stems from a challenge of the government's actions when it pressured tech companies to remove content about what federal officials said was false or misleading information about the 2020 election and COVID-19. In Congress, we're on shutdown watch once again this week, with the deadline to approve the final six appropriations bills coming up on Friday night. Negotiations between the White House and House Republicans hit some speed bumps over the weekend, so we're still waiting on a final agreement. Joining me now to discuss that is budget and appropriations reporter Caitlin Emma. Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning.
Okay, so let's start with a big overview of where things stand with a potential shutdown and the six funding bills that need to be finished this week.
Right. So we are sort of at the last possible minute here. And, you know, as of this morning, still waiting for an agreement on the remaining six bills that, you know, comprise like 70% of government funding. So, you know, the bill that funds the military, the bill that funds all the major health, labor, education programs, the Department of Homeland Security. These six bills were always going to be the harder batch to accomplish compared to the last $459 billion minibus that Congress cleared the other week. So that minibus effectively took care of about 30% of the federal discretionary budget. And now we're left with all of the biggest bills. You know, over the weekend, the White House sort of has gotten into the mix, trying to salvage, you know, regular full year funding for the Department of Homeland Security, which has just always been one of the most difficult bills to reconcile. And that has just sort of dragged all through the weekend. And, you know, we're just a few days away from a partial shutdown deadline. So both sides really have to decide, you know, whether or not they can get this together or whether or not they're going to have to fall back on, you know, a continuing resolution for that measure, which would just extend sort of stagnant funding for the Department of Homeland Security through the end of the fiscal year. And the other bills, you know, would have more updated budgets. But that's the consequence of not being able to reach an agreement.
On DHS, just update us on what the nature of the dispute is between the White House and House Republicans on that, and how much we know about where things stand there.
Yeah, so as Playbook obviously noted on Saturday, you know, the White House is accusing Republicans of, you know, wanting to underfund DHS, you know, accusing them of wanting to provide less money for, you know, officers to protect the traveling public, for combat drug trafficking, to respond to threats at the border. A lot of this, I think, is also like last minute messaging, but it was always going to be a very difficult fight just simply because the debt deal that was struck last summer just simply means that there isn't a lot of money to go around. DHS was never going to be looking at a lot more money through this appropriations bill. Unfortunately, the big budget increases that the Department of Homeland Security could have received would have gone through the Senate's bipartisan border security package, which fell apart earlier this year. So the appropriations bill was never going to be able to deliver a lot more money. And that was just a part of the debt deal that was negotiated last year between the president and former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. You don't have a lot of money, and then you have a lot of competing partisan priorities when it comes to, you know, border security, personnel, salaries, whether to spend the money on technology. It's just, it has been a tough fight right up until the end. And they'll have to make a decision about whether or not to keep pushing for, you know, an updated budget, or whether or not to just go with a CR, because at some point, you know, we're running out of time.
Caitlin, you raised an interesting point there. The collapse of the border talks is having direct impact on this DHS fight. Just tell us a little bit more about that. How did one lead to the other?
Yeah, well, through the Senate's bipartisan border security deal, agencies at the Department of Homeland Security, like Immigration and Customs Enforcement or Customs and Border Patrol, I mean, they were going to see multi-billion dollar budget boosts and emergency funding through that bill. And its collapse is very problematic for appropriators because, like I said, the budget caps that were established by last year's debt deal just don't allow for a lot more money. So they're making very difficult decisions about how to spread, you know, a very, very small increase around. And certainly if they'd had that border security deal, you know, we wouldn't be having some of these probably fights. And then on top of that, you have House Republicans who have been making, you know, a lot of demands on immigration for a long time now. And a lot of that has trickled into this bill. The appropriations bill, you know, if you talk to Democrats, is not a place to be making policy like that. Historically, that has not been the case, but, you know, this has been a very unusual year. So a lot of these policy fights have trickled into the appropriations process, have slowed things down, made it really messy. And that's definitely what we've been seeing with the Homeland Security package.
Finally, Caitlin, before you go, assuming they work this out and there's a deal before the deadline, 11:59 Friday night, what do you think this looks like in terms of getting it passed through the House and the Senate?
Right. Well, it's no easy task. In the last six-bill minibus was comprised of some of what you would normally consider the easier bills, and that wasn't exactly easy. You know, it passed the Senate with really just hours before the midnight deadline. Here, we're looking at much more difficult bills. They're a lot bigger. You know, as we've seen in the House, Speaker Johnson has had to resort to passing everything under suspension, which means he needs two-thirds of members present in voting to pass something on the floor so that he can sort of bypass the Rules Committee, which has a few, you know, conservatives on it who are sort of happy to tank things from time to time. So he's got to pull out all the stops, you know, and pass this thing with a lot of Democratic support. But then after he does that, it would go on to the Senate, and you need consent from all 100 senators to do anything quickly. And this is one of those things where it's the ultimate leverage point. You're going to see a number of Republicans demanding votes on amendments that they know will not be successful. I mean, it's a total messaging exercise, but a lot of those demands held up the first spending package, and a lot of those demands had nothing to do with that first spending package. They had to do with this one. And, you know, at this point, you really can't rule out like a partial shutdown, even if it's just for a little bit. You know, that functionally would not really affect federal agencies or government workers, but it's just so close to everything that you can't rule anything out at this point.
Caitlin, thank you so much for breaking that down. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And for your schedule today, the Senate and the House are out. At the White House, President Biden will host a Women's History Month reception. It's a light day for Biden ahead of a week of campaign travel to Nevada, Arizona, and Texas starting tomorrow. I'm Ryan Lizza. Thanks for listening.
I'm Rob Nichols, President and CEO of the American Bankers Association. America's banks believe that everyone should be able to enjoy the safety, convenience, and other benefits that come with a bank account. That's why banks of all sizes in the Washington area and across the country now offer low-cost and easy-to-use bank-on certified accounts. To learn more about our goal to get everyone banked and to see if a bank-on account might be right for you, visit aba.com/getbanked.